have all these things and I'm not there. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel, obviously. We're talking about the type of Christian life God desires for each and every person. And so that's what we talked about. Let's check some things. And we looked at, I think this is probably week number six in this, and this might be the last one. There's still one lesson that we could work on, but this would be the last one in this lesson in this series. Then we'll probably do a couple topical lessons during the month of December, and then in the month of January, we'll begin a brand new series for this class. So let's think about a couple things, and we've been trying to learn and grow in this. And the first thing is the right heart. You know, the pure in heart are the ones that are going to get to see God. If you want to see God work, you want to see God move, we need to have the right heart. So if we're going to get to the right path, going to end up at the right destination, a victorious Christian life, going to end up a life of joy, a life of peace, a life that's bearing the fruits of the Spirit, a life that's bearing fruit in our lives, we got to check our hearts. Next thing we got to look at, there's a right purpose. You know, why are we here? We talked about stewarding our lives in the Sunday morning series a little bit. What is our purpose for being here? I think the second one actually was the right conscience. Do you have a conscience that is void of offense toward God and toward man? We got to make sure that when we have the right heart, that we are doing not just what we think is the right heart, but what God thinks is the right heart. And then once we have that conscience that is right towards God and right towards man, we then progress to what the right purpose is. As we understand what the purpose and why God saved us and why God intended for us to be here after we were Christians, we make it a passion. We look and examine our lives and we view our lives and say, this is our right passion. Then we continue on and we look at, and once we have the passion down, we got to have the right priorities. Because our passion is where our priorities are going to be at. And where our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be also. So as we look at all these things, there's another thing I like to check at and look at, and that is right doctrines. The right doctrines. This is important to understand that there are a lot of people that have in their mind the right heart and the right conscience and the right purpose, the right passion, the right priorities. A lot of people that think they have all those things, but they're missing something. They're missing the doctrines of God. They're doing things according to what they see and how they feel. So I like to look a little bit this morning about the doctrines and having the right doctrines and why we stick with the same doctrines and why we stick with what the Word of God says. Proverbs chapter number 4, we're just going to go ahead and read the whole chapter, but this is a very familiar passage of Scripture to those that read Proverbs every day. But chapter number 4 talks about that wisdom, that getting of wisdom, and not letting it go. And that's why I think it comes to the right doctrines and understanding the fundamentals of the faith, the virgin birth, how Christ died in our place, and all those different things that, you know, he was, that the Word of God being the sole authority in our lives. Let's look what it says. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Well, obviously we know, as this says up here, the reading the book of Proverbs is more than just a collection of saying from Solomon to Rehoboam. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. We are truly studying the principles of the Holy Spirit of God and the declarations from the God the Father to each of his children. So we know that this is God's intention for us to hear and for God for us. So these are the doctrines. And that's what he says in verse number 2. For I give you good doctrine. And he's saying, hey, I give you the right type of doctrine. He said, Pastor, what's the word doctrine? It means, and why the Webster defines it as a set of beliefs. He says, I'm giving you doctrine. I'm giving you a set of beliefs. And that's what God gives us in his word, a set of beliefs. And if we're going to have the right heart, the right conscience, the right priorities, and the right passion, and all those things, the right purpose, we got to have the right doctrine. And he says, I give you good doctrine. And then he says in verse number 3, in verse number 2, he says, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain unto my words, keep my commandments and live. Verse number 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. And one of my Bibles, as I was studying, I had written down a long time ago, you know, David had told, this is obviously Solomon, and he's referring to what his father had taught him. And his father had taught him to get wisdom. And what did Solomon ask for? When God came to him and said, you can have whatever you want, Solomon, what did he say? He said he wanted wisdom. So that's an important key. And that's what he's saying here. Get wisdom. Yeah, get understanding. Forget it not. You know, wisdom comes from God. Understanding comes from the Lord. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Then he continues on about this idea of wisdom. Once you have it, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Isn't that wonderful? We think about it, he says, what is that we need to focus on? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Knowledge from God, understanding from God. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So if we're seeking the Lord and understanding from the Lord and know the doctrines from God, we need to get it. It needs to be a priority in our lives. If we want principles, if we want wisdom, if we make that the principal thing, it's going to become a focus. And the right doctrine is what holds us together as believers. Keep on going. And it says in verse number 8, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my saying, in the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. So he's saying, these are the things I've showed you, and these are the things I've taught you. I've led you in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened, referring to that you're not going to have to be corrected. Because of the fact that you're following after wisdom. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. There's not going to be something that's going to cause you to trip up because you're applying the wisdom, the things I've taught you. You're already headed down the right ways. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Once again, once you have the wisdom, once you have the right doctrines, let it not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. So he's giving a warning here not to let other people tempt you into believing what is false doctrine. Has done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, and it's a light that shines to the world, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It will grow brighter and brighter as we continue down this path, as the world gets darker and darker, and as we continue to keep to that path, it will go brighter and brighter. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my saying. So it's not only listen on purpose. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. It is something that should always be in front of us, always on our thoughts and minds, just like the doctrines of God. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. So we've talked about that and understood that verse, that keep is a military term. We need to make sure our heart is safe from the other things that are going to attack the wisdom. For out of it are the issues of life, because out of our heart comes the issues that we deal with. Put away from thee a froward mouth and a perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and ask God's help today as we look at this. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you help us and you help us understand these truths. Lord, Proverbs 4 is a wonderful passage of Scripture. There's many of us that can learn a lot from it. Help us understand that even though we want to be right in all these areas, we want to head it down the right path, we must let the Word of God lead us. We must let the Word of God direct us. We must have the right doctrines. Lord, you've given us your Word to lead us and go by. Help us to embrace these. Not just embrace them, look to them. Look for them. Make it the principal thing. Make us understand as we have the right hearts for us to be right, we need to understand what you desire for us. Give us, Lord, the instruction of holding to the right doctrines. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as a pastor, you know, I get the opportunity to do certain things, you know, get invited to certain things. I get invited to things in the community all the time. There's a group inside of our Elizabeth City area of preachers or ministers or whatever they want to call themselves, that's an ecumenical movement that has all different types of religions and all different types of faith, and they're trying to combine together to do a community type service. See, my issue with that is there's many of those men that have wrong doctrine, and because of the wrong doctrine, and the things that I cannot yoke up with, and the things that I guess cannot be a part of because of the fact that they're spreading a false gospel many times. Now, when it comes to political things in nature and things like that, if they're trying to promote, like you'll see that sometimes we'll try to get people together to do things on the political realm. But if anything that has a spiritual realm or other things like that, you know, there's a wrong doctrine. There's an important reason why we have the right doctrine. These men would tell me, and I've heard them say it to me, because some of them are nice men that are inside of that group saying, oh, you should come. You know, they begin telling me why. And then I explained to them the reason why. And he says, oh, you're just an old fashioned Baptist. You just think that you're the only one that's right. And I said, I think God is the only one that's right. But I want to be careful, because sometimes with these gentlemen and sometimes, you know, with these ladies and sometimes with, you know, that are part of these groups, I want to make sure that people understand I don't agree with their doctrine. I don't agree with the things that they're trying to do and do a part of. So I want you to understand doctrine is what keeps us together as a church. It's the doctrine is what holds a local church together. Every church that has a proper doctrine as a true New Testament Baptist, I call it the New Testament church, because there's fundamentals of the faith. There are certain things that is necessary to believe when it comes to salvation. There are certain things that have built our doctrine. There are certain things that we stand for. Maybe someday we'll teach you what a Baptist is. I know we've heard it before if you've been here for a while, what each of the letters stands for and things like that. There is a Baptist doctrine, but there is a biblical doctrine that we hold to. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the scriptures is given by God and is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable to teach our set of beliefs. And it's understanding that a true church, in my mind, would have the word of God as its authority. We believe here that it's infallible. It's without mistakes. It's our authority in our life. These are the things that we go by. We let the word of God dictate what our doctrine is. And the pre-existent Son of God, you know, believes in the fact that man cannot save themselves, believes in the blood atonement, believes in the virgin birth, deity of Christ. Without true doctrine, you can have a building, but in my mind, you're truly not going to have a church. Because if you don't hold to the fundamentals or you don't hold to the doctrines of the Bible, what is a church anyway? It's a called out group of believers. And if they're not true believers, it's not a true church. So I think it's important we understand that doctrine is what holds us together as believers. Now, there's different people in this room that will have different preferences. There's different people in this room that will say, well, I think this is how it should be done, and I think this is how it should be done, and I think this is how it should be done. But we must agree all together on the same fundamentals of the faith, and we group together as a group of believers. And what keeps us together is our oneness with God and our belief in God, but the doctrine that is being taught is what sets us so differently than other places. Now, you go down to church, you go down to the list in the phone book, there's all different types of churches. They even have little subtitles, at least they used to. I don't know if they still do. I don't know who uses the phone book pretty much anymore. People that probably don't have the internet. To me, I don't look up the pages. I can find it within like 2 or 3 seconds by Googling it. And, you know, you go and you look at it, there's all different types of little things that will mark down what it is and what it's not. You know, this person's Presbyterian, this person's Methodist, this church is the Church of Christ, this church is Pentecostal, this church, and even our underneath that, you have different subtitles, like under the Baptist, you may have Southern Baptist, you might have Free Will Baptist, you might have Independent Baptist. You know, what's the difference between all those? They all have something that they believe differently in their doctrine that they have set aside. And then you have some that are non-denominational that really wants to have a good, say, everybody come, you know, everybody's, and of course, everybody's welcome here too, but they're saying everybody of all faiths and all beliefs can come and, you know, hear and listen. And that's the way that these ecumenical movements are. But in our life and in our church here, we believe it's important to have sound doctrine. Doctrine's important. People will say, that stuff's not important. That stuff is minimal. Doctrine is what sets us apart. It's what makes us different. It's a set of beliefs. I remember calling a church within an hour radius here, and it's supposed to be an independent Baptist church. I think it's more of a community-style church. But I called them up, and I guess asked them a couple questions. Didn't tell them who I was because I wasn't trying to make them feel bad. I was just trying to learn something about the church because someone had talked about wanting to go visit that church. So I said, well, let me see what the church has. And I asked them by the time I ask four different questions, the last question I usually ask is, what type of version of the Bible do you use? And the secretary had said, our pastor uses whatever version of the Bible works for his message the best. Sometimes it could be the King James. Sometimes it could be the NIV. Sometimes they said, so whatever fits his message best, that's what he's going to use. To me, I wouldn't go to a church like that, because I think that the Bible should be the beginning of the message, and then you work your sermon, your illustrations off the set of doctrines and beliefs. So I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to be ugly, but if we're going to be going down the right path, we want to hit up in the right spot and be at that spot that's pleasing God, we got to have the right doctrine. That does not just work for churches. I think that every church should be built upon Bible doctrine. I believe every home should be built upon Bible doctrine. I think a home should be, a strong home recognizes the headship of Christ. A strong home is where a mother and father will try to teach their children the Bible and the Word of God. I think a strong home is one where, you know, a man looks like a man, a woman looks like a woman, and that they're going to try to teach the principles of the Bible and the Word of God and all those different things. You know, we come to a church because of a certain doctrine. Our home should be built on a certain doctrine also. We should thank God for people that will say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we want to have the right doctrine. There's a couple things I'd like to look at here. There are people here today that would think the words that I'm saying, they would say, this is what's wrong with America. They would say, this is what's wrong with religion. The people who says that we should separate because of doctrine is people who would say that that's just wrong and that's wicked. You should just be willing to accept people who deny a fundamental of the faith, who deny the deity of Christ, who deny the authority of the Bible, who deny these things. They should be able to group together as one group. It's doctrine that separates us as a church out. And it's important that, you know, as we get closer and closer to the end times when Christ is going to return, more and more is going to happen. People are not going to want to have sound doctrine. They're not going to listen to sound doctrine. They're not going to want to hear what doctrine is and what the Word of God is and what the Bible is. They're going to want to do what is good for them. Now, there's nothing sacred about a denomination. You know, we are Baptist by conviction. And we are Baptist because of what it stands for and what it believes. But the word is not sacred because of that. We're sacred because we believe the Bible. There's a couple things here I want you to think about. I want you to think about the priority of good doctrine. If you look at what it says in verses 5 through 7, there is a priority that is given here for wisdom. You know, get wisdom and understanding, forget it not. What is wisdom? It is the knowledge of God. These are a set doctrines of belief. We got to make sure we have the right doctrine. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of thy mouth, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. And then he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. So there is a priority that's put here. You know, God in his word is saying, get wisdom, get the understanding, get my set of beliefs, get understanding. You say, where does it come from? It comes from the Word of God. It comes from the Bible. It comes from looking and searching and studying and hearing preaching on it and reading, and it comes with taking it in. So there's a priority that's given here. You know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I know some people have this attitude that I'm going to do what I want. Nobody, you know, the fear of man brings a snare, and it does bring a snare. But sometimes when people act out that way and says, I'm not going to be worried about what anybody else thinks or what anybody else says, don't forget about the fear of the Lord. And our stewarding life, and the last one's the first one was, you know, fear the Lord. Don't fear man, fear God, but fear the Lord. You know, he gives us doctrine. You know, the Bible talks about in the book in the New Testament that the church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. And I think it's important that we teach people doctrine. We teach people the Word of God. That's why I said next year, at some point in time, maybe towards the beginning of the year, we're going to go through a spot where we're going to go through a discipleship class once again as a group. And why are we doing this? So we can teach others the doctrines that we know. You say, well, I know those things, but are we transferring that? Are we sending that to somebody else? Are we teaching that? Are we reminded of it? I don't want to just come to a church because we like the people that are here. I wanted to come to church because we know our doctrine. We know what the Word of God is, and we know the Word of God changes lives, and we want to transfer that doctrine to someone else. He says, you know, if it's a new believer, they need to know the doctrine that our church stands for and what they believe, what sets us apart, what makes us different, the doctrine of the Word of God. some people are surprised in the fact that they just want more people to come to church. But in all reality, it says get wisdom. It says get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. There is a priority that's put here. Paul is telling Timothy in 1 Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He says, look, continue in the doctrine that he had been taught. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I think there is people who will say they will pick certain parts of the Bible and they'll emphasize certain parts of the Bible. And there's other parts of the Bible they will not look at. They'll say some things are scriptural, some things are God-breathed, some are not. And those are just not true doctrine. They're double-minded. And that will be an unstable man and unstable. No man is going to be able to understand that the word of God is either inspired or it's not. I think for some people to say, well, you know, portions of the Bible is inspired, but the rest is not, is a great injustice. It's not believing just what you want to believe. Now, I'm not talking about different traditions that people have made, man-made things, man-made decisions. And because of that, they try to say, well, this is truth. You know, sometimes those are strongholds in our lives. We've got to make sure it's what the Bible teaches and what the word of God teaches. One preacher wrote this, I found on while studying. He says, we approach the Bible as a very inspirational book. He says, personally, I like the Gospel of Mark. It affects me, but I really do not like the Gospel of John as much. I tend to question portions of it. That's how people that are preachers today are saying, you know, this part I like because it makes me feel good. The other parts I don't like. I question those parts that I don't like. You know what? When I get convicted, I don't go questioning and saying, is this truth or is this not truth? What I do when I get convicted is I study the Word of God, and if it's truth, it is truth, and I apply it to my life. I change me, not change my feelings. I don't change the version of my Bible. I don't change my doctrine because I don't like something. I change myself first and foremost. So we see the priority of good doctrine. The second thing is the pathway of good doctrine. If you look at what it says in verse number 11, he says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. Good doctrine will lead you into the right path. The right kind of doctrine will provide the right direction. The right type of doctrine will provide the right type of direction. I think it's important that we understand that we have some principles and some things that we go and try to build as building blocks as our church. Now, are we always doing them? No. Do we have the wrong doctrine? No, we have the right doctrine, but are we being submissive to it? You know, as a church, I think we should always have godly music. As a church, I think we should always be interested in soul winning and interested in missions and interested in the teaching and discipling of others. Why do we think those things are important? It's because that's what the Word of God does. If we have the Word of God and we do not view it as the Word of God, what do we become? We become a social group. And that's not what we should be. We should be a church in having the right doctrine. So one of the reasons why there is a pathway of good directions is because it's going to lead you in the right paths. He's saying here in verse number 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. I've showed you and demonstrated this is the way to go. This is where the right doctrine is going to take you. It's going to take you to the right path. Sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes it's going to be tough. Sometimes people are going to disagree with you. Sometimes it's going to cause an altercation. Sometimes it's going to cause some type of rift. But we should always hold to right doctrine. The next thing I want you to think about is the right assurance. Right doctrine not only provides the right direction, but also the right assurance in your life. That's what it says here in verse number 12. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. It's because you have the right. If you have the wrong doctrine, you know what's going to happen? Someday you might have to be corrected. Someday you might have to get straightened out. Remember, we're trying to head down to the right path. We're trying to end up in that spot where God wants us to be of a victorious Christian life, one that bears fruit, one that has the fruits of the Spirit, one that is seeing God in their lives. And he's saying, look, that sometimes that needs to be straightened out. Sometimes that you've gone down as when you left the right doctrine. Then it says, when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Thou shalt not stumble. I know some of you have heard already this past week, I stumbled. I wasn't going to tell anybody, but there's one person found out and they told lots of people. I fell this past week in a Walmart parking lot. I messed up my elbow, this side over here. It's okay. And I didn't want to make a big deal. I wasn't going to tell, but I had already had four or five people come up and say, hey, pastor, how's your elbow doing? So if one person knows, you know, lots of people know. And I did not tell that one person that I did not want to tell anybody. I guess that I wasn't going to make a big deal out of it. I was just going to leave my sling upstairs. And they say I cracked my elbow, or I had a little fracture in my elbow or something like that. They couldn't tell because it was swollen up. But I stumbled because I was not paying attention to what I was doing. I went and I pushed the carts into Walmart. I was trying to be a good, nice man, nice guy. All the carts are kind of messed up. So I went in there. I pushed it and pushed it all the way to the back. And I turned around to hurry up to get in the car. And that little lip that makes it not come back out, it was dark outside, and I stumbled and I fell. And luckily, I was able to put my elbow out to be able to, and it landed right on my elbow. And I'm not whining. I'm just saying I stumbled because I wasn't paying attention. And then when I think it's a perfect example here, if we stick with the right doctrine, that when we're running, and I was trying to run a little bit, even for an old guy, to the car because we were going to go get some food and I was hungry. And I was running and you know, no one even knew I fell. I went into the car. I actually hit the ground and just kind of rolled up and just kept on going. Nobody even knew that I fell. I went and told my family I just slipped, you know, and fell out there. I was more worried that I messed my clothes up and didn't realize that my elbow was starting to swell. And so I stumbled. Why? Because I wasn't paying attention. And if we're not going to pay attention to good doctrine, you know what's going to happen? We're going to stumble sometimes. We're going to fall. We got to be careful. We got to make sure that we keep the doctrine. It's a proven pathway. It's a pathway that has a solid footing. Jeremiah 6:16 says it this way. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, or it's a good way, walk therein, and you shall find the rest for your souls. I think that we change as a culture does not mean that we had to change our doctrine. It does not mean that we need to change our doctrine just because the culture changes. Now, there may be a difference in the way to present it. As we talked about, using a screen might be something that they would have never done a couple hundred years ago because they didn't have the technology. But at the same time, we still stick with the pathways of the old doctrine. The Bible says in Hosea 14:9, who is wise, he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressor shall fall therein. I want you to understand that it's important that we have good doctrine, if we have right doctrine, because it's going to make sure we're going down the right path. If we stand to the word of God, we stand by the Bible, we don't have to worry about making a mistake in the future. If we are assured of the fact that, hey, we're going down, I got to spend some time with family. Sometimes my family thinks I've gone off the deep end when it comes to trying to be a biblical Christian and some of the things I do. But if I stand by what I believe in the Word of God and the doctrines of the Word of God, you know what? I don't have to worry about that. I'm assured because it's the way that it was. It's when I begin to question and take certain things in my life and the way I act and those things, that's when I'm going to have to be sorry for the way I did things or apologize or straightened up or stumble because of the fact I did not hold to proper doctrine. Next thing, which is the last one, is the provision of good doctrine. The provision of good doctrine. If you look down here, example, Paul is telling Timothy to preach the word. You know, at the end of Paul's life, he knows he's getting ready to be killed, put to death for the cause of Christ. He doesn't tell Timothy, who he loves, to stop. He doesn't tell Timothy, stop preaching and teaching the word. You know what? It's going to cost you your life someday. It's not worth it. He does not do that. He believes in the doctrine. He holds the doctrine. He tells them to continue in this doctrine. And what does he say? And then one of those last words, he writes to them and he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, even when it's popular or not popular, preach the word. Back in the 70s and the 80s, to be an independent Baptist, you know, that was something that probably most people, it was good. It was a popular. They had the biggest churches. They had the biggest Sunday school classes. They had the biggest bus routes, and they did all these different things. It was kind of in vogue, in a sense, to be an independent Baptist. Now, today, it's not. Are we going to change? No, we're going to continue to preach the word. We're going to hold to the right doctrine. That's what makes it. Does it mean that we're going to try to be small on purpose? No. But we're going to use the doctrines that God's given us. There's a provision there. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. It's shining. Along this pathway of good doctrine shines the glorious light of the gospel of Christ. The pathway is illuminated by the scriptures. The Bible says in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we see here that in Christ is life, and he was the light of men. We had the words that will save a man's soul and change his eternal destiny. As long as there are the doctrines of heaven, as long as there's the doctrines of hell, as long as there's doctrines of salvation, we need to stay on the same path. And that is a path of soul winning. I'm thankful for churches that are Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. And even though sometimes people like to sway and change, and you know what? It's the doctrine that makes the difference. It's what the Word of God teaches us. I thank God that there are people who lift high the doctrine of things that are not popular, like soul winning. I think we could be better at that. I think I could be better at that. If we truly have the things that will change a man's soul and a man's destiny in our hands, we should give it to somebody else. We truly should. And that's a doctrine that should be taught, and that's something that this church is supposed to be like. There are certain types of church growth, and there are certain types of biblical church growth, and we must be continuing to go out and do the same doctrine that was done before. As we live in a long heritage of preachers and churches, and more churches than the preacher, because the preacher is just a man. But we have a heritage as Baptists, and that, what is that heritage? It's one of holding to the doctrines. Someday I hope we all get and understand that it's the Word of God. We need to get wisdom. And when we get that wisdom, we'll get understanding. We might say, I don't always understand. Do we have the wisdom of God? Do we memorize the wisdom of God? Is it something that's in our heart? Is it something that's in our mind? Is it something that we hold to? Sometimes, like I said, methods change. Doctrine shouldn't change. If we're going to be at that right path, there's no way we can get to the right path unless we have the right doctrine. Unless we have the right set of beliefs, we're never going to get where God wants us to be. Let me encourage you today. Do you have the right doctrine? Is it the Word of God? Do you believe it's the Word of God? Get wisdom. Get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in. With all thy getting, you're going to get the understanding God has for you. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dearly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, I pray you help us as a church understand that doctrine is important. That what the Word of God teaches is important. And Lord, that we stay by it and we stay close to it. Lord, that we don't just pick and choose certain things. That's certainly easy to do. There's some of us that are very good at maybe telling other people about Christ, but not good at something else. Lord, help us to hold to the entire doctrine and the entire Word of God. Lord, help us to relish it and the fact that it was the one that will give us the light of the path, that will give us the right direction, that will give us the right assurance. Help us to make a priority out of it like the Bible tells us to get wisdom, get knowledge, make it the principal thing. But Lord, let's remind it that we had this provision, and this provision is in the Word of God. Lord, as the gospel is in the Word of God, Lord, help us to light the paths there. Lord, help us to give that out to somebody else. Help our light to shine brighter and brighter. As the world goes darker and darker, it should shine brighter and brighter unless we change the doctrines. Lord, help us stay close to you and close to your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.